In my bag this morning. Yeah, Saka set. And I had to clean the grease off of this one. I didn't realize I hadn't wiped it down from the last time I used it. I brought a socket this morning. You guys know what these are used for? All kinds of different things. Tires. Yeah. Working on my car, working around the house, things like that is what I use this for. I brought this because it reminds me of one. I used to love to play with my dad's, make the clicking noise like I am now. But it reminds me of my dad's tools. And one of the things that I loved about my dad's tools is when I was younger, he would always invite me to help him around the house when he's working on the car. Always had a great time. Helping my dad work on the car, we changed a clutch in one of my dad's cars because he owned cars like I own cars, and there's always something that needs to be fixed on them. So we work on cars together. I remember one time he and I worked together and made a picnic table for my mom for Mother's Day or something like that. And they had it for quite a few years, all the way up to just a few years ago when she finally replaced it with something that was a little bit more less rocking than what we had made her. My dad always invited me to work on stuff with him, and it was always good and exciting. And I learned a lot about the things that I work on now from working with my dad. And it's interesting that with tools like this that and getting to work with my dad, how much I realize now when I read the scripture, how much God invites us to work with him. And how many things, just like learning alongside my dad, that I learned alongside working with God. And when I was a little kid, it was always exciting. You know, I felt all big and strong when I would work with my dad. And it was good. And now I get to do that with God too. And how exciting it is to work alongside God, and how much I feel empowered and all big working alongside somebody who knows what they're doing, for one. And the things that I get to learn working alongside God, whether it's learning how to live a godly life or to love others the way that he loves them. There's so many things that we get to do in working alongside God in the same way that I used to work alongside my father. And that, I hope, is a little bit in the ways that Nathan's going to go about when he talks about a few things this morning as he shares the word. And as he gets ready to come up here, I'm going to take everybody that wants to go to junior church, and we're going to look at preschool through fifth grade. Wants to head out these doors this direction, you can follow me.
I forgot to ask Don this morning if he wanted to introduce his son, but I want to go ahead and do that. Nathan Roster really needs no introduction to this church family here. He is part of our family. Nathan, of course, he and his wife Erica, their children, they live in Saltillo, Mexico. There's one of our missionaries that we support in Mexico. We also support a mission in Central Mexico. But he is here this morning. Is going to share with us a message from Revelation 21, I believe. So, brother?
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning to everyone. It's very heartwarming to be here and see so many loving and friendly faces. Last year when we visited, we were without Erica. This year we are all together. However, Larissa will be staying in order to study at the Purdue Polytechnic High School. So we're all very excited about that. And just before coming up here in July, a group from Inglewood Christian Church, which is just up the road, and Mano de Amistad, which is the Hispanic congregation that meets there as well, came to Saltillo and visited with us, and we all got COVID together. So I apologize if I have some residual coughing. Thankfully, everyone is okay, but apparently this sudden dry coughing will be with us for a little bit longer. Thank you for your prayers and support. God continues to do wonderful things in Saltillo, and we are blessed to share in serving for His glory in all things. In today's brief message from the Word of God, I would like to encourage us to focus on three broad strokes which brush over. So if you can imagine brushing over the entire biblical message. The first two will start from the very beginning and go all the way to the very end, while the third will focus on one particular story, while at the same time encouraging us to reconsider the entire biblical invitation to perceive and join in God's belonging love. So let's jump right in. In the first broad biblical perspective, broad stroke, if you will, this is something I've shared previously from Jacques Ellul's wonderful book, The Meaning of the City. And in it, he highlights a significant biblical truth by focusing on the theme of the city within the biblical story, tracing it from beginning to end. So, on the first pages of the Bible, we all know the story of God creating all things, including Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned, were banished from the Garden of Eden, and had two sons, Cain and Abel. And then the very next story is how Cain killed Abel. Well, God comes in close with Cain and lets him know that this is very bad, and he will be cursed from now on as a wanderer and vagrant upon the earth. But Cain denies God's judgment, settles east of Eden, and builds the Bible's first city. The city is named after his own son, and through this, Cain establishes something that would allow his descendants to make a name for themselves. And so it is that in the Bible, the first city is actually constructed by the first murderer in rebellion to God's justice and in order to make a name for himself. Well, that didn't go well. And everything goes pretty much downhill from there. So after Noah and the flood, the Bible shares about another city. And this one is called Babylon. Now, Babylon was modeled after Eden from the very beginning of the Bible. And Eden was essentially a temple, meaning a high place where the heavens and the earth meet and join together. And so the Tower of Babel was humanity's vain attempt to reach the presence of God on their own terms, through their own will, ingenuity, might, and pride. Again, it's a denial of God's will. From the beginning, God had commanded humanity to populate the entire earth back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, as well as an attempt to remake things on our own terms. So it's like a long, sweaty, exhausting expression of prideful blindness about the seriousness of our true condition in relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And so it is that the second city in the Bible is built in humanity's attempt to reconnect with God on our own terms, believing that we ourselves can accomplish this. Once again, it is constructed in denial of God's will for humans to populate the earth and serve as a reflection of God's image everywhere. It is the prideful seeking to make a great name for ourselves. Well, that didn't end well either. And even though Babylon holds a prominent place in the biblical story, it is surpassed by our third and final city, Jerusalem. Here I will read from Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The name Jerusalem means city of peace, and that is certainly God's will. It is where God had his temple constructed. But in zealous pride for the law of all things, this is the place of the crucifixion of God's Messiah. It's the place of the first Christian martyr, and it was eventually destroyed in 70 AD. Jerusalem is the embodiment of the city gone wrong. It is the maximum expression of human pride, taking God's law, which is designed to reveal God's character through his faithful people, and turning it on its end to become a justification for crucifying God in the flesh. Jerusalem is the maximum expression of blindly missing the beautiful will of God to be right with those he created in his own image and serve so that all things sing the praises of his glory. Jerusalem is the culmination of what the first murderer began, the worst that humanity could possibly do. But God doesn't end the story there. For you see, at the very end of the Bible, descending from the heavens of God's presence, coming down to the earth, now and forever, behold, the new Jerusalem. The worst is redeemed, transformed, taken by God himself and presented as the very best in which he himself will abide together with us forever. That is what God is doing. Glory to his name. May his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder if he would like for us to join with him in that. The second broad biblical stroke, which starts at the beginning and goes all the way to the end, are something called binaries. Now, the word binary basically means a group of two. Think bicycle, bilingual, bifocals. And the Bible actually begins with a fascinating presentation of these binaries in God's very good creation. Light and darkness, day and night, water and land, animals in the water and animals in the air. And within this context of binaries, creator with creation, the presence of God on earth in the paradise of the Garden of Eden, the final binary culminating this temple experience, the union between heaven and earth, is humanity, created in the image of God as being male and female. Now, I'm going to attempt to navigate this point very carefully because I believe there is something very beautiful here if we can focus clearly on God's word. Men and women, as different as God created us, are married before God looks and pronounces everything, not just as good, but very good. And while there is a lot more to learn and discern here, specifically from the fact that Jesus of Nazareth did not marry, and then from the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it must be recognized that at the very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, we see that this unity of differences, this culminating binary of marriage between male and female, is used by God to communicate all things right, once again, together in Christ. So let's go to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 2. And here the Word of God says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, admittedly, these are broad strokes. We still have to talk through the details of what the biblical message is inviting us to share in. But at the very least, we are invited to ask if God might desire for us to join in what he is doing in our shared life together as Garfield Christian Church, wherein differences as stark as night and day, water and land, through the power of God can be welcomed back, received in his love, and truly belong. Now, let's go to our third and final biblical brush stroke, which is just a brief little story in the book of Acts about Philip, one of the first deacons in the early church, and the Ethiopian eunuch. I'll read this from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Acts 8, 26 through 40. "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza,'" that is, a desert road. "So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.' Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'Well, how could I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: 'He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? for his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Fun fact, when the group from Inglewood Christian Church came to Saltillo in July, there were 19 of them. And one of the families stayed in our home, the Selbys, Tyler and Katie Selby and their three children, Ruby, Joanna, and Sam. Tyler and Katie are former missionaries in Ethiopia. They served there for 3.5 years. And so as they were telling us all about the different languages in modern Ethiopia, customs, food, culture, and way of life, one of the questions that we had to ask was, is the Ark of the Covenant really in Ethiopia? And they shared that they had actually met one of the monks from that monastery. And they asked him this very same question. Would you like to hear what he said? He answered them, of course, of course. And then they asked him, well, can we see it? And he replied, of course not. No way. Of course you can't see it. What I would like to focus on here and to highlight is how being led by the Holy Spirit in Acts 8, in the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, as well as throughout the book of Acts, and even the entire New Testament, is really the fulfillment of God's great promise back in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, to bless all the nations through the promised descendant of Abraham, that is, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And if we come in close and carefully examine this third and final brushstroke, we see God's Holy Spirit lead his people to love those who are different from us. Now, you can go through the mental list of all the differences in the story of Philip, the Jewish peasant, and royalty being carried along on his way from Ethiopia, and that is certainly part of the point. But I believe that if we look closer, we can see God's belonging love present within the story of God's word. Belonging love. The love of God with God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Belonging. Belonging love. The love of God with us. Belonging. Belonging love. The love of God with us and one another. Belonging. In fact, in all the examples we have focused on this morning, if we look closely, we can see God's surprising love. There's love for the victim, Abel, and a seal of protection based in love, even for the victimizer, Cain. There's love for men as well as love for women, for we are both created in the image of God. There's love for the Jew, for they were God's chosen people, as well as love for the Gentile, for God so loved the world. Over all these things, love. Love for enemies, love for family in Christ, the love of God for all. Because God is love, and God desires for all to be welcomed back and belong. May God's belonging love be received and shared faithfully for His glory in all things. I believe we are invited to ponder these broad brushstrokes in the Bible from beginning to end and comprehend the invitation that God is extending for us to be welcomed and join in. The invitation is for all of us who have done bad things like Cain. All of us who are different, as land is from sea, darkness from light, men from women, to be led by God's Spirit beyond our comfort zone and perceive that fellow humans, like the residents of Bean Creek, right here in our neighborhood, are loved by God, and He is inviting us to join in and share His belonging love so that they may see, hear, and also join in this beautiful story of all things right once again in Christ Jesus the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the blessing of being able to see You through Your word. Pray that You will help us to be a faithful reflection of You and Your belonging love for Your glory as we serve You in all things. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.